Hello again, and welcome to our services today. We pray that they have been a blessing to you. Let's approach our Father in prayer. God, I just ask you in Jesus' name to bless us in this next portion of our service. I pray, Father, that you will help us as we seek your will and your purposes for us, but also, Father, that we would be able to, through your word, be able to get a glimpse of you. And just what an awesome and wonderful and mighty God you are, how loving and kind. We pray, Father, that you'll help me as I share from your word, and that you would be with each person who hears it, that they might be receptive to what you have to say to them personally today. In Jesus' name, amen. Lately, I seem to be more forgetful than normal. I can be forgetful at times, but it seems like even lately it's worse. I have trouble remembering where I left my keys, my wallet, my phone. I forget to take my meds. Names of people I know very well elude me at times. I'm lucky to remember what day of the week it is, let alone what I plan to do on that particular day. I'm blaming it all on COVID-19. Not that I have it, but I mean, everyone's blaming everything on COVID-19, so why not this too? I've noticed a whole lot of TV and internet advertisements, commercials, the past few weeks that focus on brain and memory health. Some are selling natural supplements called nootropics, which promise to improve memory, focus, and mental energy, and also to help us with problem-solving skills. Other advertisements promote diet and exercise, claiming we're more likely to be forgetful if we're overweight or don't get enough rest. Maybe now I'm beginning to understand why I've been falling asleep during exercise. I jest. But again, they are claiming that these things have, well, some, if you will, effect upon our ability to remember, to recall. I'm not alone in my concerns about this. Complaints come from many of 73 million baby boomers living in the U.S. today, as well as college students, teachers, investment brokers, and those busy moms who have trouble keeping up with all the things that have been dumped into their laps recently. The repeated plea is for a remedy for poor memory. There are practical steps, I believe, that we can take to improve memory function. But the bad news is that the longer we live, the more we're likely to have to struggle with this problem. That's especially a concern for those who may develop dementia or Alzheimer's. Those who suffer from those diseases are devastated by the inability to recall precious people in their lives and important events that have taken place in the past. So their loved ones also are affected by it deeply. I know people with Alzheimer's who don't recall ever having moved in their lives or gotten married, so they may not recognize their own siblings, their spouses, their children, or grandchildren. Pretty depressing to think about, but it is a reality for many. Yet as sad as all of this is, I have some good news. I want you to consider with me today Isaiah 44, 21 and following. The Lord has something to say there to us that I believe should be a comfort to us in this time, as well as in all times in our life as we think about things like forgetfulness and memory loss. The Lord says there in verse 21, Isaiah 44, "Remember these things, O Jacob, for you are my servant. O Israel, I've made you. You're my servant. I will not forget you. I've swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." What is particularly amazing to me about this passage is that God is declaring his faithfulness to a nation that had forgotten him. The preceding verses of the chapter, they speak of how God's people had forsaken him, had forgotten their creator, how they had turned to idols and worshiped them, how they turned to other things and put their trust in things and other people, but not in their Maker. That's the situation that exists in the text. Yet God says to them, I will not forget you. And he follows that up with this plea, return to me, for I have redeemed you. In other words, I have purchased you. I have made it possible for you to return to me. So return. I've done what's necessary for that to be a possibility for you. So return to me. I will not forget you. Now, why in the world would he say something like that? After all that they had done to him, and all that they had forsaken that they should have done for him. I mean, if someone treated you that way, wouldn't you write them off? Wouldn't you say good riddance to someone who had betrayed you? And that's really the image in the text. That might be our response, but I want you to listen carefully. It is not God's response. It's not. Now, though this promise is made specifically to Israel, it's one that he makes to all of his people. All of his people. In Galatians 3, 26 through 29, that's New Testament now, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Galatia, and he says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ," he says, "then you're Abraham's seed, Abraham's offspring, and heirs according to the promise." Did you hear that? It's not about the fact that we have Hebrew heritage, but we have this heritage, this common heritage, as children of God through faith. If we've been baptized into Christ, Paul says, we are children of God and heirs, see, of the promise. What promise? The promise to Abraham, the promise to all of the children of Abraham. The promise is ours too. God will not forget us. God will not forget us. What shall we do about that? How should we respond to that? Well, why don't we ask God? Why don't we ask the Lord himself? How should we respond to this? Well, look at verse 23 of our text again in Isaiah. It says, "Sing for joy, you heavens, for the Lord has done this. Shout aloud, O earth beneath. Burst into song, you mountains, you forests, and all your trees. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob. He displays his glory in Israel." That seems pretty clear. It's the image again of all creation rejoicing, celebrating because of God's remembrance of his people. God will not forget us. And that's reason for rejoicing. Great rejoicing. Now, you might be someone, though, who would say, I hear that, but I don't think he's talking to me, because I've wandered so far away from God and made so many horrible choices in my life. I've ruined every relationship I've ever had, and I've burned so many bridges that there's no hope of returning. My life's a mess. It is a mess. And surely it's because God has forgotten me. If that's what you're thinking, if that thought's even crossed your mind, I want you to listen now to the words in Isaiah 49, verse 14 through 16. Zion said, now Zion was the capital of Israel, and this is representing God's people. So it's God's people who are saying, "The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me." See, that's what the people thought. Their circumstances were pitiful and they blamed God for it. Having said that, they should have accepted responsibility for the fact that so much of the calamity they had was not because God had forgotten them, but they had forgotten God. Not because he'd forsaken them, but they had forsaken him. And they brought about all these consequences upon them, but they were saying, no, it's because God has forsaken me. God has forgotten me. Yet this is how the Lord responded to them. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, this is God speaking, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Once again, did you hear that? The bond that God has with his children is stronger than the bond between a mother and her child. And that's a pretty strong bond, is it not, mothers? And is it not those children who have had such a bond with their mothers? A pretty incredible, fantastic bond. But God is saying that even if your own mother should abandon you, should turn from you because of, well, some choices you made, some mistakes you made, I won't do that. Even if your own mother should develop some kind of a problem with her memory and she forgets you, I will not forget you. I won't. Do you hear that assurance? And there's this image too, there isn't there, of our names being inscribed on the palms of his hands. Wow. Our names being inscribed in the palms. I've known people to write, you know, phone numbers or reminders on the back of their hands or on their palms, you know. I've known people to actually write answers for tests on their hands and try to cheat. But it's the idea of putting something there where they can find it easily, they can see it, and so they won't forget it. This image is that God has written the names of his children on the palms of his hands. So it's really meant for us to understand he is not going to forget us. He's not going to do that. This, once again, just blows me away, because the fact that he would even remember my name, what just fills me with wonder. God knows me by name. He knows you by name. I confess that I know some children's names better than others because their frequent misbehavior has me calling their names out so often. You know, Jimmy, stop that, Jimmy. Sally, you know better than that, Sally. Stop, Sally. Well, if God were me, I might think that that's why he knows me and my name so well. I've not always been the best behaved of his children. I have not. Yet that's not the issue here. It's not even about me. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about him. The issue here is that he loves his children and he will not forget them, no matter what we do or fail to do. In Isaiah 43, verse 1, the Lord says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you." There's that word again, redeemed. "I have made it possible for you to return to me. I have summoned you by name," it says. "You are mine." I summoned you by name. I don't know if you've ever received a summons. It's not generally something we look forward to. It can be daunting. It might be a summons to court or a summons to appear before a judge. And while it's not looked upon by us as a good thing, but the image here is that God is summoning us. He's calling us by name, summoning us to come to him, calling us by name. And he says, "Because you are mine, you're mine." Jesus later would promise to call his sheep by name. John 10, verse 3, he said, "I'll call them by name and they'll come to me because they know my voice." Here's the deal. Though we may forget Him, God will not forget us. Never will He forget us. Well, what if we're the worst behaved kids in the family? We've kind of talked about that already, but I want you to listen to a conversation between the Lord and one of His unruly children in Jeremiah 31, verse 18 through 20. First, let's hear from the rebellious son. Verse 18 of Jeremiah 31. The son says, "You discipline me like an unruly calf. And I've been disciplined. Restore me and I will return, because You are the Lord my God. After I strayed, I repented. After I came to understand, I beat my breast. I was ashamed and humiliated because I bore the disgrace of my youth." In other words, the son has come to his senses. He's come to his senses and he's saying, "I want to come back to You, God." Now I want you to hear the Heavenly Father's response in verse 20. He says, "No way, You've messed up too badly. I don't even want to talk to You again. I disown You." No, that's not what he says. If you have your Bibles open, look at verse 20. If you don't, well, make sure to open them and read this for yourself later. I want you to hear what the Lord says. He says, "Is not Ephraim my dear son, the child in whom I delight? Though I often speak against him, I still remember him. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I have great compassion for him." The New Living Translation renders that last line, "I still love him. I long for him, and surely I will have mercy on him." Notice that it's not that the son has always been on the best behavior. It's not that the father has always even been pleased with the son's choices or decisions, no. Or that he's condoned them or even accepted that behavior, no. But this is his son. This is his child. He delights in his child, not necessarily the child's behavior or choices or decisions, but he delights in the child. It's his child. And though he has rebuked him, spoken against him, corrected him, even disciplined him, he loves him. And he will remember him no matter what. His heart yearns for him to return. Why? He has great love for him. And he will have mercy on him. That says it all, really. There's not much more to be said about it. No matter how you feel, no matter how alone you might feel or forsaken or forgotten, God hasn't forgotten you and He has not forsaken you. And He never will. He never will. He still loves you. He still longs for you to come home to Him. And He's made it possible for you to do that. Through the blood of Jesus, through the sacrifice of His Son Christ on the cross, His children who have rebelled, who have turned away, who have forgotten Him, who have forsaken Him, can return. They can return. God so loved us that He gave His Son for us. So we need not perish, but we can have everlasting life with Him. With Him. He will have mercy on you, His child, today. Do you need mercy? Do you need mercy? Do you need grace? Oh, there's grace in abundance to the children of God, because God so loves His children, so loves them, that He will accept them. He will let them come to Him. He will invite them to come to Him. He calls to them, "Come to Me." And He's done everything necessary for that to be a reality today. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You in Jesus' name for this good news today, this reminder of Your steadfast love, Your unfailing love. Father, for your kindness that endures forever. Father, for your graciousness and your mercy, God. And we confess before you, I believe we all need to confess before you that yes, we have not been as faithful to you as you've been as so faithful to us. We've not been so mindful of you as you have been mindful of us. God, we ask you to help us with that, to instill within us the knowledge of your love and grace and mercy in Jesus, and that would transform and change these minds to be focused on you. The greatest hope and healing for forgetful mind, is, I believe, is the knowledge that we have a God who doesn't forget and will never forget, even though we might forget him. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for inspiring the word and bringing it to us this morning. Bless us and keep us, but draw us close in Jesus' name. And amen. God bless. Have a great week.